Yo, welcome to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. We're your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, code breaking news, culture, matic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Boy, oh boy. Tucker Carlson, the second most popular broadcaster, well, was the second most popular broadcaster behind Joe Rogan, was let go from Fox News yesterday. There's a lot of, you know, feelings as to why that was. You know, if you put all the hot button political issues aside, which we're a Bitcoin channel, so, you know, you guys know how we feel about fiat politics. It's not red versus blue. It's not left versus right. It is orange versus green. And Tucker was definitely on side orange. He's highlighted very predominant Bitcoiners like Marty Bent, Max Kaiser, Michael Saylor, and Nayib Bukele. And they've all been on Tucker Carlson, either to Tucker Carlson today or Tucker Carlson tonight. And the reality is that Tucker Carlson was one of the only people in legacy corporate media that was really going against the official party line, the official narrative. And the thing is, you know, if you have someone with that big of a platform that has that much reach, it starts to become dangerous, right? And I believe, you know, that's one of the reasons that, you know, he either quit because he was frustrated that he couldn't cover certain topics, or they fired him outright. You know, and again, I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh, and they're going to jump on certain political things that Tucker covered today. And thing is, we're a Bitcoin channel, so we're going to stick to, you know, what Tucker highlighted in the Bitcoin world. And look, the reality is, we say at the very, very beginning of the show, the Bitcoin is going to allow, because it's fully decentralized, the true separation of money and state. And the reality is that government have been able to capture a lot of the legacy media institutions and have been using them to propel certain narratives to the public, right? We covered the New York Times, and how the New York Times, in my opinion, is more concerned about selling you a narrative rather than actually being journalists. They sold the American public on weapons of mass destruction in 2003. We know after the fact that that came from the intelligence community. So a lot of these, you know, corporate media organizations, I don't think that they're news organizations. I think that they're propagandists, right? And I think Tucker was really going against the grain, and I think that's why they let him go. So we have a clip for you guys. We're going to play it during the news, and we're going to talk about this. But the reality is that we lost one of the largest mainstream proponents of Bitcoin, and he was taken down. He was eliminated, or he chose to step away. I don't know. And in this great battle, in this great war that we're fighting, the separation of money and state, not a kinetic war, it's information war. We need as much people on the orange side, right? And the reality is that Tucker played a really important role. Now, the good news is, though, is that I think that because of this, you're going to see more and more of the predominance or the importance of independent media, right? So I think people like Joe Rogan, and it's not a coincidence, he is the most popular broadcaster in the world right now, 11.5 million average downloads per episode. And people like Tim Pool are saying the quiet part out loud. They're questioning what is money, and they're mentioning Bitcoin more and more and more. And I think all roads lead to Bitcoin. So as much as the government or, you know, these powerful institutions are able to control the narrative by capturing a handful of these institutions and corrupting them, I don't think they'll be able to do that with independent content creators, because there's way too many of us, right? It's the decentralization of information. We've said this many times. It's not only the disintermediation of information, which is what the internet started, but we're also living through the disintermediation of money as well. And I think the people that have the most to lose with either of those things being disintermediated are going to fight like hell in order to keep those mechanisms of control. And all that being said, this isn't just simply Bitcoin saying this. It's only just Nico saying this. We have presidents of countries saying this at this point. We have clips of Tucker saying this at this point, right? So we're going to cover all that during the news. But before we start the show, I want to bring up my legendary co-host, always optimistic. How you doing, Opti?
I'm doing good, laughing at some of the comments in here. Let's go, guys. But man, Nico, I think, you know, we talked about this yesterday in Spaces, and you and I talked about this off air yesterday before we started and we heard this news. And it really highlights the importance of fighting fire with fire and spreading the truth, guys. Like, I don't call it a $1 trillion PSYOP campaign for no reason against the truth, because it's becoming very obvious that they want to silence the truth. We know this is the blueprint. We've seen this happen in the past before. And now it is just becoming accelerated. It's going exponential. And, you know, this is why we bring the memes up on the show. Like, it is an information war, guys. And pushing signal through the noise is the most important thing that we can be doing, whether, you know, it's us on our platform, whether it's just talking to your friends and family about what's going on, whether it's being looked at as like the crazy Bitcoiner. I think it's important that we all double down and realize what the stakes are right now. And, you know, what's the saying? The first casualty of war is the truth. And here we are, man. You know, say what you want about Tucker, but he was doing good work. He's probably like the last real journalist on mainstream media. And now he's gone. So, hey, it's just very important for everyone to realize what is actually happening in real time, because, like, we're not just seeing things, guys. This is this historical precedent here.
Most importantly, right, because that's an opinion, right? That's an opinion where it's like he's the last real journalist on corporate media. I would say he was the only predominant journalist on corporate media that was advocating for Bitcoin publicly, right? And that's really the angle, and that's really why we're going to highlight that today. Anyways, also, I want to include... or I want to welcome our very special guest, Brian DeMint from the Orange Pill app. How you doing, Brian?
Doing good, man. Very special. Thank you. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me back. My favorite comment was, oh, dang, is Brian not Tucker Carlson? So sorry, I'm not Tucker Carlson. But we got, I think it'll be a fun show. We got lots of exciting stuff happening in OPA that I can't wait to dig into. And it applies to this Tucker, like all this stuff is symbiotic. It all ties in together. Yes. And that's what's beautiful.
Yeah, 100%. This is all interconnected. And the lens that you guys should see it from is not red versus blue, not left versus right, green versus orange party. Green versus orange party. And when we say green party, we mean state money. We mean central bank digital currencies. When we say orange party, we mean Bitcoin, right? And that is really the fight here. It's not left and right. So don't get stuck in that dichotomy. I know a lot of people are focusing on that. They get distracted by the culture war, but it is just that. It is a distraction. Really focus on what is happening and what we're living through. And what we're living through is the separation of money and state. Also, shout out to Gus. Happy birthday, brother. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the numbers. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today. Guys, I also want to tell you about the biggest Bitcoin conference on the face of the earth, Bitcoin 2023. It's coming up, Miami Beach, Florida, May 18th through the 20th. It's in less than a month. Get your tickets quickly before the price goes up, and you could use the promo code SIMPLY to get a 10% discount on your Bitcoin 2023 tickets. Let's go through some of the speaker lists. We have Michael Saylor, Arthur Hayes, Alex Gladstein, Adam Back, Jack Mahler, Stacey Herbert, Senator Cynthia Lummis, the Bitcoin Senator. We have a member of government from the country of Indonesia, which is really interesting. I want to hear what his announcement is. And of course, Lynn Alden, Jeff Booth, you have McShane, you have Natalie Smolinski, you have so many people, Marty Bent on there as well, Breedlove, Opti and I are going to be holding it down on the analyst desk. I think I might be on some panels as well. It's going to be really exciting. Let's check out some of the agenda. We're going to go through a lot of this every single day. But yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to this one. This one looks really interesting. Investing in Bitcoin, moderated by Alex McShane. You have Mike on the panel. You have Jeff Booth on the panel. You have a cold card workshop. You have BTC Sessions and Hold D from CoinKite. It's going to be awesome. You definitely don't want to miss this. If you're looking to get a job in Bitcoin, definitely go to Bitcoin 2023, promo code SIMPLY. The time at the price, the Bitcoin price at the time of recording is 27,395. Sats per dollar, 3,650. Block height, 786,972. Reachable Bitcoin nodes, 17,096. Blocks to halving, 53,028. Halving estimate, it's in less than 1 year. April 21st, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity, 5,374 Bitcoin. Capacity value, $147 million US dollars. Realized monetary inflation, 1.76%. And the market capitalization of Bitcoin, $530 billion. So we were talking about the great disintermediation in the beginning, right? And how the powers that be are going to fight this, right? You have the MiCA regulations in Europe basically saying, hey, any Bitcoin transaction over $1,000 must be KYC'd. Well, also, they're, you know, the powers that be are also fighting end-to-end encryption. And if they successfully fight end-to-end encryption, I mean, what makes you think that you as an individual would have the ability to transact with anybody you want on the in the world? If this law passes, it would set a precedent, right? That, hey, you're not allowed to any type of privacy. We at the government, I'm speaking about the UK government specifically in this case, we are entitled to see every type of communications. And I think that's a very slippery slope. So let's check some of this out. It's called seven secure messaging apps, including Signal and WhatsApp, wrote an open letter to out that the UK's online safety bill, right? It's always under the guise of safety. It's always under the guise of money laundering. It's always under the guise of financial stability. I'm sick and tired of those buzzwords. I'm sick and tired of them. Remember the IMF, when they gave that bailout to Argentina with the condition that they must de-incentivize the adoption of Bitcoin, even though Argentina is currently going and suffering through 104% inflation. And the excuse, the justification that they used for that is financial stability. Also, the justification that they used when the IMF attacked a sovereign country, El Salvador, for passing the Bitcoin legal tender law was financial stability. So how did that play out? The IMF was wrong. They were just flat out wrong. They got it. Literally the exact opposite of what they said was going to happen played out. So it's just bullshit language, like safety, terrorism, money laundering, financial stability. Like they've cried wolf so many times that those words, they don't hold water anymore. I don't believe them anymore when they say this. I really believe it has to do with we want to be able to control you, and you control people. You can either control people either through money, right, or through information, right? As we're going to cover today, how strong narratives are. And I think that currently how the system is structured, right? Mark Moss calls it peak centralization. If they don't have this all encompassing narrative or this money of which they can control, they start to lose control. And I think that's what they're fighting against, right? Quote, as currently drafted, the bill could break end-to-end encryption, opening the door to routine, general, and indiscriminate surveillance of personal messages of friends, family members, employees, executives, journalists, human rights activists, even politicians themselves, which would fundamentally undermine everyone's ability to communicate securely. The bill provides no explicit protection for encryption, and if implemented as written, could empower the OFCOM to try to enforce the proactive scanning of private messages on end-to-end communication services, nullifying the purpose of end-to-end encryption as a result, and compromising the privacy of all users. And who's to say the government isn't going to use that to protect their political moat? Look at what happened with the Twitter files. Look at what happened. Even in the US, with First Amendment protection, the government was still asking Twitter to censor certain users. This is a very slippery slope. Anyways, he goes on to say, in short, the bill poses an unprecedented threat to the privacy, safety, and security of every UK citizen and the people with whom they communicate around the world, while emboldening hostile governments who may seek to draft copycat laws. Both Signal and WhatsApp have said that they will cease services in the UK rather than compromise the security of their users worldwide. So it's this continuation of, you know, the state fighting back. They want to control. They want to censor. They want to see what you're doing. And at the same time, they're asking you to trust them with central bank digital currencies. If they don't trust you with just you messaging people with information, what makes you think they're going to trust you with money? So money's a lot more powerful, right? It has a whole, a lot more weight. What makes you think they're going to trust you with that, right? So this is just crazy, man. And the only way that they're able to get away with a lot of these things is, again, because they've had this monopolistic control on the sources of information for decades now. And that's allowed them to propagate as many narratives as they want without getting into too many of the details. If you guys have not been living under a rock under the last 5 years, okay, how many of the official party lines and the official narratives have turned out to be flat out wrong? The ones that we're going to focus on because we are a Bitcoin-centric show. Remember when they told you there was going to be no inflation? Remember when they said that if you said there was going to be inflation, that was disinformation? Do you remember that? Just to put it lightly, right? That's just one example that I want to bring up on Simply, right? So, and these are the same people that say, hey, we also want you to trust us with this godlike power of being able to surveil every message that you say. And trust us, we're not going to use that against you. By the way, we also want you using a money that gives us the same godlike power, and you can trust us as well. When history has shown, right, if you haven't been living under a rock, history has shown that they've completely abused that trust time and time and time and time again. Bitcoiners are just saying something very simple. No one deserves that godlike power of being able to censor someone else's money. No one deserves the godlike power of being able to create money for free that another human being has to work for. We're advocating for a more equal and equitable system. We're advocating for a level playing field. And what they're advocating for is a system of privilege. A system of privilege where a group of bureaucratic elites get to play God. And you could have given them the benefit of the doubt. You could have said in good faith, hey, maybe that system is better. Look at the last 5 years. That fucking system sucks. If you're under the age of 35, you can't afford anything. All the money printed, all the money printing has made asset prices go through the roof. It has made just being able to afford a home for the average, you know, millennial in the United States, not even mentioning Zoomers here. It's unaffordable for us. They've stolen our time with the money printing. And now when we're trying to seek alternative sources of information and alternative sources of money, they're attacking us for it. This is nuts. But this is what it's all about. This is what the peaceful Bitcoin revolution is all about. And if you want to partake in all of this, all you got to do is you just got to opt out. You got to opt out, take your Bitcoin, mine your Bitcoin, earn your Bitcoin, buy your Bitcoin, and take that Bitcoin into self-custody, grow your local network, get close to other Bitcoiners, grow that, talk to your local rancher, opt out of their system. You can't say at this point, it's impossible to say in good faith that these people want what's best for you. In fact, they're telling you what they want for you. They want you to own nothing and be happy. What Bitcoiners are saying is, fuck that, own Bitcoin and be happy. What would you rather choose? But takes a bit of personal responsibility. You got to learn how to take self-custody. You got to learn how to do your own research. You got to learn what information sources you seek to get your news from. This idea of just getting your information sources from a single source, that those days are over. It's been exposed that they've been using that mechanism in order to control people and to control the narrative. It's over. It's done. Anyways, what are your thoughts on this, Brian? Then we'll move on to Opti.
I mean, Nico, you said it exactly. It's about opting out of the system. R. Buckminster Fuller, my favorite quote, to change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. The left in the political spectrum talks about burning down the existing systems. I don't think anybody can burn down the existing systems. They have the guns and the power and the fiat money and all that kind of stuff. But history's ripe with disruption by just building a parallel better system. That's how you opt out. Like, it's nothing. It can be peaceful. It's going to be the most peaceful transition. And they're going to hate that, right? Like, what happens when a bully walks up to you and tries to goat you into a fist fight? And then you just keep your chin up. You walk away and say, "Nah, you're not worth my time." The bully doesn't like that. And that's what you see with the IMF. They're the bully that tried to tell El Salvador what to do. And El Salvador opted out. And IMF can't do anything. So they just whine around the world and then they try to bully other people and they bully Venezuela. They're going to go pick on the softer target. They're going to pick on the one that doesn't have that hard target Bitcoin standard behind it. And just a reminder to everybody that how did probably the most egregious oppression that we've seen in American history, that is the crux of division in our country right now, slavery, Black oppression. How did slavery start? It started by Europeans debasing the monetary supply of glass beads, which was the money of the most Western African countries. And so what they did was they debased the money, then made these people dependent on the Europeans that had glass blowing technology where they could create an infinite supply of glass beads, come in, debase the money, ruin them, create poverty, and then your only option was to sell your family members into slavery to fix that problem. Your way to provide for your family was to only dig into that system deeper and more deeply. There's no more permanent situation than a temporary government edict. There's no more permanent situation than a temporary solution to your safety concerns. And I mean, I'll park it right there, but there's just historical precedent after historical precedent of this not ending well with these types of things being implemented.
Yeah, 100%, right? I think that they, like, it's kind of like you've been punched in the face like five times and then that person's like, "Trust me, bro, I got your back." Like, it's like, no, dude. And then when you question it, it's like conspiracy theorist, you know, alt political position. Like, it's just so crazy to me at this point. Anyways, Opti, what's your take on this, brother?
Yeah, man. I mean, hey, it's a Bitcoin channel, right? So Bitcoin is freedom. Free speech is a threat to the unproductive class. Free speech will get attacked, has been getting attacked, and will continue to get attacked. And free speech is a Bitcoin fight. And like, this is why we Bitcoin. This is why we continuously try to spread the signal. This is why we love Bitcoin. You know, the freedom to transact in a money that doesn't steal from us, I believe, is a right for all of humanity. And now, like Brian said, you know, we have that sly roundabout way and we are building a better system. And as much as the unproductive class wants to screech and and control what is happening, they're just going to continuously lose that control and the illusion will just crack in real time. So, I mean, hey, this is what we mean when we say this is the separation of money and state. No one said it was going to be easy. And this is why we just continuously try to tell everyone, arm everyone, and keep everyone's spirits up because, hey, it is getting dark out there. And the further and harder they push, the darker it will get. But we do have the tools now. And, you know, this is why we Bitcoin. This is why you take Bitcoin into self-custody. This is why you run the software, is to literally avoid, like, all the stuff that's happening in the world right now. My friend said it best the other day. You know, look around you. It has never been more obvious why we need Bitcoin than today. And it's only going to get more obvious as we move forward.
Dude, I love that. Like, it's never been more obvious as to why we need Bitcoin. I completely 100% agree. Anyways, everybody, let's get to news. We got a lot to talk about. Let's check it out.
The Daily News.
The Daily News is brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Check out the brand new limited edition color, the transparent green jade. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air gap Bitcoin transactions, scan and display QR codes directly on the device, assign transactions, and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin.
All
All right, everybody. I also want to give a shout out to our new sponsor, Orange Pill App. Stack friends who stack sats. Are you moving to a new city, or perhaps you are in a city, but you just don't know Bitcoiners around you? Download the Orange Pill App. It literally shows the Bitcoiners around you, and you can network with them. You could DM them directly. There's no shitcoiners on there. It's awesome. I've been on there for a couple weeks now, and I'm getting messages from Bitcoiners all over the world. It's freaking awesome. There's also other predominant Bitcoiners on there as well, like Natalie Burnell, BTC Sessions, Knut Svanholm, Saifedean, Princey. And anyways, you can create a Bitcoin-only event. You could find a Bitcoin-only event near you or search by location and date. Are you going to Miami? I'm sure your day will be full of amazing speakers and talks, but what are you doing at night? There's nothing worse than being in a silly city full of Bitcoiners, but you're in your hotel room watching TV. Hop on the Orange Pill App events page and find all the plebs events on the fly. Download the Orange Pill App today, and you can also send me a message. I'm on there as well. Anyways, I want to talk about what happened yesterday. Really made shockwaves all around the world. Tucker Carlson steps down from Fox News. Tucker Carlson was one of the second most popular broadcaster in the world. 3.5 million average viewers per episode. And as part of the tweet thread that I said yesterday, said Tucker was one of the only members of the legacy corporate media that publicly supported Bitcoin. He's had Michael Saylor, Nayib Bukele, Max Keiser, Marty Bent on his show. So Tucker was really one of the only people on the legacy corporate media that was highlighting Bitcoiners. Therefore, while highlighting them, he was also, basically spreading the Bitcoin ethos. And he's also said on TV, which we've played you on the show, we've played you a clip of that, where he said, I like Bitcoin. And I think, I think for the powers that be, forget about the left and right, but for the party of green, I think that's a threat. And this is actually a tweet thread that I did a while ago, almost 2 weeks ago. And the case that I was making was, we are witnessing the complete collapse of the corporate media's legitimacy. Without their previous monopoly on mass distribution, they have to compete with the general public on equal footing. And that's a big problem for them, right? We all remember the BBC interview with Elon, where the guy was like, ever since you took over the Twitter platform, there's been a rise of hate speech. And then he's like, could you give me an example? And the guy wasn't able to do it, right? But they're used to, you have to understand how these media organizations have been running for decades now. They've never had to argue back. Since the advent of social media, since the advent of like YouTube and whatever, it gives the average everyday person the ability to communicate with other individuals directly without going through an intermediary, right? And I think that these legacy institutions, these legacy media institutions, don't know how to deal with this. We all remember the New York Times when they released their propaganda hit piece attacking Bitcoin mining. And then when Riot, Pierre Richard absolutely slayed them in a video, basically proving that, hey, Bitcoin miners don't emit any carbon emissions. They tried to fact check it with the community note feature on Twitter, but the Bitcoiners fought back. This is why it's so important. Every tweet that you like, every meme that you create, it plays a role here. This is narrative trench warfare on the battlegrounds of the internet, right? So we got that community note removed. Right here is when NPR and also the Canadian Broadcasting Service as well was basically complaining that Elon Musk was basically labeling these organizations as government funded. It's like, why were they so against the people knowing that they're government funded, even though they're government funded, right? And again, this all goes back to the point that I was making the very, very beginning of the show in the opening monologue, right? We are witnessing the great disintermediation of information and all these sources that have been used by the powers that be to control the narrative. It's just slipping through their fingers. And of course, they're trying to fight back. You know, they're trying to call for more censorship, more control, and end-to-end encryption. You know, they want to see everything and anything. Anyways, so we have Max Keiser saying the state's propaganda outlets are quitting social media. And here's a tweet by Elon Musk from 2 days ago. Twitter, this is before they fired Tucker, by the way. Twitter is a serious danger to their ability to control the narrative, right here is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He is, we covered him, I think, on last week's episode. He is related to JFK, and he is running for president on the Democratic side, which is why we always say this isn't a left or right Democrat or Republican issue. This is a orange versus green. He is a huge proponent for Bitcoin, and he's anti-CBDC. Anyway, so Robert F. Kennedy says Fox fires Tucker Carlson 5 days after he crossed the red line by acknowledging that the TV networks pushed a deadly and ineffective, I'm not going to mention that, but let's say a deadly and ineffective narrative. Carlson's breathtaking, courageous April 19th monologue broke TV's biggest rules. And I actually have a clip for you guys, which is really interesting. You have AOC basically calling for the government to censor Tucker Carlson, which is crazy, especially living in the U.S. where speech is literally protected under the First Amendment. So she came out with this video on Friday, and then Tucker was let go on Monday. That's a hell of a coincidence time-wise. Anyways, I have the clip, and then I also put a bunch of other clips as well. Michael Saylor talking, Nayib Bukele talking, and then the last clip by Tucker Carlson where he says the quiet part out loud. It's not coming from Simply Bitcoin. We're not saying these things. It's coming from the horse's mouth itself. Anyways, let's play the clip, and then we'll talk about it.
Federal regulation in terms of what's allowed on air and what isn't. And when you look at what Tucker Carlson and some of these other folks on Fox do, it is very, very clearly incitement of violence. Very clearly incitement of violence. And that is the line that I think we have to be willing to contend with.
But part of staying safe, it's come out in public and say the things.
Yes.
It's, you know, it's harder. I mean, they have done it before with a lot more important people, so they can do it, of course. But you know, they have many enemies, not one. They have a lot of people calling these things out. You know, they have been censoring all of these people because it's easier to censor than just go and eliminate every person saying bad things about them. It's too hard. They cannot. You know, so a part of staying safe, I think, is going public, being transparent, and being, you know, say the things that you know and you want to say, and that you think that they must be said. And I mean, they haven't done anything to you, and that's because, you know, you're saying the things you want to say, and it would be too expensive for them. It's cheaper for them to smear you, to say bad things about you, to have people think that you're a bad person, which you are not, but it's easier for them to do those things. Go and straight and eliminate you, that would be, you know, too messy. And it would probably be against their own plans. So I really think one way to stay safe is being true to yourself and saying the things out loud so people can, you know, listen to them, make their own decisions about it, and know what you stand for. So it would be a little more expensive for them to eliminate all opposition in front.
You have to kill a lot of people.
Exactly.
So you've made the most compelling case I've ever heard for the need for something like Bitcoin. So you're saying, just to make sure that everyone's following this, the whole point of Bitcoin is to escape the inflation vortex that has consumed all these previous empires.
The point of Bitcoin is to fix the money. And money is energy, and energy is life. And if I keep sucking the energy out of the economy, I'm sucking the oxygen out of your system. Either under the best case, you perform poorly. Under the worst case, I suffocate you to death or freeze you to death. That's the problem. That's why empires collapse. That's why economies collapse. And the problem, it's not just a problem for an individual. It's not just a problem for a family. It's a problem for every institution. It's a problem for every company. It's a problem for every city, every municipality, every government, every civilization.
Like, I've spent my whole life in the media. My dad was in the media. Like, that is a big part of the revelation that's changed my life, is the media are part of the control apparatus. Like, there's no... Yeah, I know, because you're younger and smarter and you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
But what if you're me and you spent your whole life in that world, and to look around and all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow. Not only are they part of the problem, but I spent most of my life being part of the problem, defending the Iraq war. Like, I actually did that. Can you imagine if you did that?
Well, what do you think? What is one of your biggest regrets in your career?
Oh, defending the Iraq war.
That is it?
Well, I've had a million regrets, not being more skeptical, calling people names when I should have listened to what they were saying. Look, when someone makes a claim, there's only one question that's important at the very beginning, which is the claim true or not?
Mm.
So I say, you know, you committed murder or you rigged the last election before you attack me as a crazy person for saying that, maybe you should explain whether you did it or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for too long, I participated in the culture where I was like, anyone who thinks outside these pre-prescribed lanes is crazy, is a conspiracy theorist. And I just really regret that. I'm ashamed that I did that. And partly it was age, partly it was the world that I grew up in. So when you look at me and you're like, yeah, of course they're part of the means of control. I'm like, that's obvious to you because you're 28, but I just didn't see it at all. And I'm ashamed of that.
Isn't that what the media tries to do, though?
It's their only purpose.
Right.
They're not here to inform you. Really? Even on the big things that really matter, like the economy and war and COVID and like things that really matter that will affect you. No, their job is not to inform you. They are working for the small group of people who actually run the world. They're their servants. They're their Praetorian Guard. And we should treat them with maximum contempt because they have earned it.
That wasn't simply Bitcoin saying that. That was Tucker saying that. And you want to know why AOC in the beginning said that his words are dangerous? There you go. There's the reason why. Here's Glenn Greenwald. Glenn Greenwald was the reporter that originally broke the Snowden story. Very famous reporter. And said Tucker was the cable host who most opposed U.S. proxy war in Ukraine, denounced CIA, FBI, Department of Homeland Security for its systemic lies and corruption, devoted himself to pardon for Julian Assange, objected to regime change efforts in Cuba, criticized Trump administration's militarism. And then this, I want to end it with this. And this is a piece that we always read you this essay, but it's very, very important, this article. It's from our friends over at Bitcoin Magazine. It is an opinion piece written by Nayib Bukele, which in my opinion has been vindicated. A year after the IMF criticized El Salvador for adopting Bitcoin legal tender, you have peace and prosperity in El Salvador. And when the IMF basically gave Argentina a bailout, saying, but part of the bailout, you have to de-incentivize the adoption of Bitcoin. Argentina is going through chaos, ruin, and poverty, hyperinflation, basically. So in my eyes, Nayib Bukele was totally right. He was vindicated. The IMF lied, right? But it goes deeper than that, right? And Tucker said that at the very end of that podcast. He was saying the quiet part out loud. And I want to read you this. And this part really gives me chills every time I read it. It says, the most vocal detractors, the ones who are afraid and pressuring us to reverse our decision, are the world's most powerful elites and the people who work for or benefit from them. They used to own everything, and in a way they still do. The media, the banks, the NGOs, the international organizations, and almost all the governments and corporations in the world. And with that, of course, they own the armies, the loans, the money supply, the credit ratings, the narrative, the propaganda, the factories, the food supply. They control international trade and international law, but their most powerful weapon is the control of the truth. And they're willing to fight, lie, smear, destroy, censor, confiscate, print, and do whatever it takes to maintain and increase their control over the truth and everything and everyone. So kind of go full circle here and connect it with what I was saying in the very beginning of the show. Tucker used his platform to go against the official party line. And I believe that's why he was either asked to step away or that's why he stepped away on his own accord. And he was, like I said, he was the only member of the legacy corporate media to be advocating for Bitcoin. And, you know, at the end of the day, whether you put all the political issues aside and whatever, I said it at Bitcoin 2021, right? If you're against Bitcoin, you're against freedom, right? And I think that, you know, at this point, Tucker advocating for Bitcoin is a threat to the enemies of freedom, to the proponents of central bank digital currencies, to the proponents of censorship. And all the buzzwords that they use in order to achieve that goal: safety, money laundering, terrorism, financial stability. But if you actually check them at their word And you're like, okay, but have you actually come through on all these things? No, they've utterly failed, right? So I think it's time to try an alternative. And I think that alternative is Bitcoin. And I think the rest of the world hasn't woken up to that. But, you know, I think we always say this, all roads lead to Bitcoin because Bitcoin has the best incentives. But anyways, you won't benefit from any of this if you don't take Bitcoin into self-custody. And if you do take Bitcoin into self-custody, you want to put your backup seed phrase on steel. You don't want to put it on paper. It's easy to use, hard to destroy. The BitPlates Domino are designed to preserve Bitcoin wallet backup seed words and passphrases, made from highly corrosion-resistant 316 marine-grade stainless steel, offering the ultimate protection against extremes of temperature. You can use the promo code SIMPLY to get 10% off any BitPlates.com products. Anyways, I want to bring up both my co-host and our guest today. It's pretty deep topic today, pretty harsh topic, but that clip, man, had a lot of truths in it. You know, whether it's Michael Saylor saying the quiet part out loud, I think Michael Saylor was being a little political when he was when he responded to Tucker, what Tucker said. So Bitcoin is the escape to the inflation vortex, right? And then Tucker was like, yeah, but he couldn't answer it outright. And it's interesting. And I really believe, look, the reality is that governments get a tremendous amount of power from being able to issue money, from being able to print money, right? And the consequences of printing money, of creating money out of thin air, is that it devalues everyone else's money. It causes inflation. So again, it's a very, very dangerous idea if the common, average, everyday person finds out that not only does their money not have to lose purchasing power over time, there's an alternative that actually increases in purchasing power over time. And that is a very, very dangerous idea to get into the mind of the average everyday person, because once they find that out, they start asking a very important question. What is money in the first place? And why are we being forced to use money that steals from us? And I think Tucker asking those questions was a thorn in the enemies of freedom. And I think that was, at least from the Bitcoin side, put the politics aside, guys, you know the deal. I think that was one of the reasons that, you know, he was either asked to step away or he stepped away voluntarily. Anyways, Brian, what are your thoughts on this? Am I seeing things that are not there, bro? I hate covering these types of topics, bro, because the legacy corporate media has done such a great job at just labeling them, putting certain labels on them. And as soon as it's labeled with something, it's taboo to even cover them without being labeled a conspiracy theorist or being labeled a crazy person. But I mean, look, at what point can you say the things that are obvious in front of your eyes are not there, right? Like, at what point can we start having these conversations, right? The reality is you can verify it. Don't trust us. The IMF lied. They lied about El Salvador. They lied about Argentina. And there are real life consequences to individuals living in those countries because of those lies. Anyways, Brian, what are your thoughts, bro?
Yeah, man. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. In propaganda, they call it the narrative high ground. So if you're the establishment and you have the high ground and you have the clout, then if you can define something first, which the best thing to do is call it conspiracy theory or to call it dangerous, then you've achieved the propaganda or the narrative high ground. Joseph Goebbels, the chief propagandist in the Nazi regime, he said, if you repeat a lie often enough and with enough conviction, then it becomes the truth, at least the truth to the people. And so that's essentially what you're seeing playing out. And it's like frustrating that people don't see that, that people don't see that that is exactly what we're so quick to. What's our first reference when somebody talks about an egregious, a tyrannical government? And this is left and right, any side of the aisle. We always say Nazis, right? We say Nazis for the bad standard because we all understand how bad that was. But how do people not see the tools, the tactics that they used in propaganda? It's playing out to a T. They should like be sued for copyright infringement because this is exactly what they did. In every decade, in every generation before this. And now I think as Bitcoiners, it's important that when we see a Nayib Bukele, when we see a Tucker Carlson, so a media personality and a politician, we should question them. Why is he saying this? And I think Bitcoiners said, I'm seeing it in the chat here. I'm seeing on the YouTube comments. I mean, people are saying, oh, we shouldn't trust Tucker Carlson. We shouldn't trust Nayib Bukele. That's great. You shouldn't. And I hope that people watching this show understand that Nico and Opti come from a position of, when we're talking about Tucker Carlson, this being a positive thing, like, we've all gone through the questioning of what are his motives. And so I hope that people understand, by the time we get to talking about it now, we've already gone through the questioning of what's this guy's motives. That's the beautiful thing about Bitcoin. When you have aligned incentives, you kind of don't need to go down that rabbit hole too much, because if they're promoting Bitcoin, it's like asking, what are that Bitcoin miner's motives? I bet he's just trying to get rich. Yeah, perfect. I want the Bitcoin miner to get rich because he secures my Bitcoin more. I want the biggest voice in media to talk about Bitcoin. I don't care what his motives are, because he's making Bitcoin bigger and better. And the bigger and better it becomes, the more secure it is, the more usable it becomes. And so ultimately in Bitcoin, it doesn't matter what somebody's motives are if they're working in a Bitcoin direction, if they're working on the Bitcoin arc. And you know what's freaking bullish is, look at the Tucker Carlson clips. That guy had strings attached before. He no longer has strings attached. What is he going to do next? Again, question his motives. We should question his motives. But with no strings on, what is he going to do? I want to see a meme in my DMs with Tucker Carlson having the strings cut off by this afternoon, people. Come on, plebs, help me out. I want to see that meme. Tucker Carlson with no strings attached. That's going to be a freaking beautiful thing. And what, like, here we are, April 2023. The Bitcoin price has been going up. We don't want to talk about price, but let's talk about this as a reflection of how this is bullish. In the past, every four-year cycle, the price goes up because halving creates scarcity, creates price increase, and then you get FOMO because the media talks about the price. The Bitcoin price has always gone up in the past because people talked about the price. The mainstream media talked about the price that created FOMO. Why is the Bitcoin price going up this year? It's because of the fundamentals. It wasn't that price prompted these things to be talked about. Tucker Carlson was talking about this on mainstream media because of the tenets of Bitcoin. That's a fundamentally different thing about why the price is rising. That means there's mainstream buy-in to why Bitcoin's important. That was stupid why the Bitcoin price went up in years past. It was just because it went up. That's fine. Ethereum's price can go up. Horrible companies, pets.com can go up in price. All those things can go up in price. And then that perpetuates price cycles. Bitcoin's price is going up and people care about it right now because people like this are talking about it for the things that make it special and unique. That is like the most bullish thing that we could ever hope for.
I love what you said about we don't need to trust this person. And I would even go a step above that and be like, you don't even need to trust another Bitcoiner's ideology or their spiritual beliefs or their personal beliefs. You have a common denominator. That common denominator is Bitcoin. Therefore, your incentives are aligned, and it actually allows you to operate with a lot of people that you might fundamentally disagree with because you agree on one thing, and that one thing is Bitcoin, right? And if you compare and contrast that with the system that we have now, which is disaligned, it's unaligned incentives, right? So, you know, I talk about this all the time when people talk about democracy and they bash democracy. It's like, democracy will never work as long as politicians are being elected to get closer to the money spigot, right? They're not elected to, okay, let me keep my job by doing good by my constituents. They don't need to do that. Let me get my job so I can get close to this money spigot. That's why you have like Nancy Pelosi and Elizabeth Warren and, you know, of course, on the other aisle, these politicians that are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And you're like, how do you get that on a government salary? Right. And then what are their incentives? Their incentives are, let me keep getting close to the money spigot because that benefits me. Right. Versus if you separate money from state, these politicians will not have the ability to just create money out of thin air. So their only mechanism of raising money is via direct taxation, and good luck raising money via direct taxation to a lot of these crazy ideas. And people are just gonna be like, yeah, I don't agree with sending hundreds of billions of dollars to this country. You know, that's freaking crazy, right? But as long as they have this mechanism, right, this just, they could just print money for free, right? The incentives will never be aligned. And if you compare that with Bitcoin, the incentives are aligned with node operators, they're aligned with hodlers, and they're aligned with Bitcoin miners, and they're aligned with all Bitcoiners, because all Bitcoiners just want, fundamentally, they want one thing. They want Bitcoin to succeed. And if they want Bitcoin to succeed, they're on the same team. They're on the they're on the team of orange. And the team that we're fighting for, fighting against, is the team of green. And the team of green wants privilege. They want special privilege. They want things that not that the average everyday person doesn't have the ability to do. Anyways, Opti, what's your take on this? And we'll get it.
I'll try to get this one quick. Brian, first of all, you killed it, dude. Thanks, brother. Really appreciate it. Second, that Bukele clip was amazing. Maybe he was a little premature in that statement, but absolutely nailed it.
He called it.
He called it 100%. And again, you know, say what you want about Tucker Carlson. Say what you want about why he got fired or he walked away. I think the point still remains that free speech is under attack, and Tucker seemingly went rogue. And like Brian was saying, you know, strings are attached or detached now. And the AOC clip really makes you think that maybe she knew something or got the official tagline from high up to mention Tucker.
She got the tap.
It's very obvious now. But I mean, the bigger picture here, and it's something we've talked about here on the show a lot of times, is the collectivist bent of what we are seeing and silencing talking heads, whether it was a personal choice from Tucker or, you know, from a big whatever corporate interests that everyone wants to point towards. The signal here is that we've seen this happen in collectivist countries throughout history. This isn't a new thing. This is basically like the first casualty in the culture war is silencing people that are saying the things you don't want to say. So again, say what you want about Tucker, but he is, or at least was, the second biggest broadcaster in the world. And yes, Bitcoin doesn't need anyone. Bitcoin will be good without him or with him. I think the importance to all of us and to Bitcoiners is to acknowledge where we are in the world right now. Again, the first casualty in the culture war is truth, and the revolution will not be televised, guys. And now we have further proof of this happening in real time. It's not conspiracy theories. We know what is happening right now, guys. They do not want you talking about this stuff, whether privately, publicly, or any of the matters, that because again, the only thing they've ever had was the monopoly on truth. And now we have the freedom tools. We have the internet. We have Bitcoin. We have, you know, encrypted end-to-end communication systems. And the signal is out of their control. So again, say what you want about the reasons for this thing happening, but it is a big moment in time. And I think it will be one of those smoking gun moments that we'll look back in time and be like, oh yeah, this is one of those moments when things really did change. And again, it's something we talk about here all the time. Like, we are in the greatest battles of our lives. Like, it is Bitcoin or it is slavery. You guys can say that we're doing clickbait or whatever you want, but this is the fundamental battle line that I see. The reason the powers that be are able to get away with everything that they do is because they have the money printer on their side, and everything else downhill from the money printer is why they are able to pay for it. So, you know, again, say what you guys want, but I think one of the big things in that clips that you pieced together was the full send clip at the end, you know, and we talk about it all the time, about the Overton window. And it is, at least personally, feeling like the Overton window is slowly inching back toward truth. And I think the pendulum is going to swing very hard towards our direction. And I'm just happy that we're here. I'm happy that we can show up every single day. And I'm happy that we have all these savage Bitcoiners criticizing us in the chat and making sure that we are being honest and you know,
good. I welcome it. I welcome the debate. That's the way it should be. Like, if that's the way it should be, don't censor it. And again, guys, I beg you, don't get lost in the sauce with the left and right debate. That's not really the fight that's going on. The fight that's going on is orange versus green. You want as many people to be on the side of orange. So it's important to stay inclusive. You know, don't make enemies of people on your same team, literally fighting for the same thing, right? This is the battle of our time, and I think we're going to win this because Bitcoin, we have the incentives on our side. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the culture. Let's do it.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today. All right, guys, I also want to tell you about Swan's new offer. Bitcoin is generational wealth, and you could secure your bright orange future with the Swan IRA. Real Bitcoin, no taxes. Swan offers both traditional and Roth options to best fit your needs. Create your IRA and start adding Bitcoin in less than 1 minute. Transfers and rollovers are available. Swan's Bitcoin experts will get you set up with no transfer fees and no minimum balance requirements. This is the real thing, not an ETF or other derivative. Get the real thing and get it at Swan. Go to swan.com/IRA for more details. And of course, you could always send me a DM on Twitter and I'll be happy to answer them. Anyways, Opti, what are we talking about today? Oh man. Oh, yeah. This is spicy. You guys might be thrown out of Congress.
to be honest, this is a good segue. You know, we like to feature our guests when we have them on the culture, the Daily Culture. And I think this is part of a continuation of what we're talking about, where one of the things is us Bitcoiners that at least Nico and I realize, and I, and obviously Brian and everyone over at Orange Pill App realizes, is that we are up against an information war right now. And the best thing we can be doing is try to educate as many people as possible. And without further taking up space, because Brian can rant better than I can, I think. I'll give you the floor, bro. We'll give you the floor here. What is this project that I have here pulled up? And what's the thinking behind this?
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. So Saifedean joined Orange Pill App, and we thought that there was like no better way to celebrate that, because I mean, he's just like a great voice in Bitcoin, right? Like he's a very like vicious guy in certain respects, with like he's just like unapologetic for Bitcoin, and maybe that's what it's going to take to Orange Pill Congress. But anyways, because he joined the app, We bought the first 100 already, but we have 435 more to buy. So a total of 535 books of the Bitcoin Standard are going to Congress. And so there's 100 senators, there's 435 House members or representatives, and every single one of them is getting a copy of the Bitcoin Standard. When we put this out, we just thought like we're gonna fund this, and this is gonna be like we're gonna bite the bullet on this cost. Well, freaking awesome. Geyser Fund comes along. If you guys don't know Geyser Fund, they're like the Kickstarter for Bitcoin projects. Geyser Fund comes along and says, hey, we're going to help raise these funds, and we're even going to contribute above and beyond what gets raised. We want to make sure that this happens. And so we've raised over 20 million sats. We're the most funded project on, or the most funded initiative on Geyser Fund right now. And that's prompted like a handful, at least five other, I believe, Orange Pill the government movement. So there's Orange Pill the UK Parliament, there's the Nigerian government one, there's a few different European ones. I don't know if there's an Asian one yet, but there's a handful of other governments that are all going to be getting copies of the Bitcoin Standard, or some, in some cases they might be doing layered money. And so that's up to the individual, you know, organizer of that. But it's not just something where we're mailing these copies to their office for them to be put on a bookshelf or thrown in a trash can. We are actually going to the steps. We're not just going to the steps of Congress. We're going into the Capitol, and we've even gotten a room. Dennis Porter's come along and partnered with us. He's the liaison. If you guys don't know who Dennis Porter is, he's like a full-time full-time lobbyist essentially for Bitcoin, and he has contacts and relationships inside of the Capitol with these senators, with their staffers. We have a room reserved for that day where we're gonna have food, we're gonna have all the books. These politicians, their staffers can come by, pick them up. We're also going to walk the halls and go door to door and just like cold call, cold knock on these office doors and Orange Pill these guys. And I think the skeptic, again, we're going to bring it back to the skeptic. I think the skeptic's going to say, and this is like one of my favorite lines, and it's totally true. People say they don't even read the bills that they pass. What makes you think that they're going to read the Bitcoin Standard? And that's a very valid point. There's going to be some that don't read it, and there's going to be some that do. But by us going there, June 22nd, we're going to be in the Capitol, and any plebs that want to join us, we would love to have you guys come with us. And I've also heard other people say, you're really going to walk around the inside of the Capitol. It doesn't matter if they invite you or not, you could still get in trouble. so we have permission to be inside of the Capitol. We're going to be shaking these people's hands, but just in the same way that you shake a rancher's hand to make that connection, we're going to be shaking these people's hands. And we have a plan of action. We're not just giving them the book, but we're going to talk about how Bitcoin aligns with the incentives of a politician. What does a politician want at the end of the day? They want to be reelected, right? That's why they're in office. They keep, you know, they're providing a job for themselves. They're providing influence. And let's talk to those people about the Bitcoin vote And let's talk about how there's this growing demographic of hardcore Bitcoiners that will maybe not be always be one issue voters, but they will very much gravitate towards Bitcoin politicians. Like Nico said, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, I'm a libertarian. I could see myself voting for a pro Bitcoin Democrat, even if there's some other problems that I see with their, you know, with the initiatives that they push for. So we're going to be able to walk up to these people and say, okay, we have on Orange Pill app, you can go back to your jurisdiction. You represent a local area and you can find all the Bitcoiners that are in your jurisdiction and you can reach out to those people and talk to them and you can solicit their vote. Ask them for how can I represent you in Congress? And you have a built-in passionate demographic right there through the app. So that's one, a voter base is one of the most important things that we can go up to these people. And we can say, you have a resource with Orange Pill app of a way to contact this demographic. And two, you have companies or entities like Geyser Fund. These campaigns are always seeking money. They need money for their reelection. We have an app for that. We have a solution for that. Geyser Fund is a great option for you to go and raise campaign financing to get your next election. So you want to get on the Bitcoin standard and you have your own incentives. You have your own things that you want to do, but on the Bitcoin standard, your own self-interest benefits everybody else on the network. The politician that's getting reelected on a Bitcoin vote is also, I don't care what his heart's telling him. At the end of the day, he's promoting Bitcoin. He's making Bitcoin better and stronger. And so we're not out there to necessarily orange pill every single member of Congress. I think that would be kind of silly to think that we're going to orange pill 535 people, but we're there to plant seeds and just open relationships with these people so that they understand that Bitcoiners aren't just a bunch of shadowy super coders, but they understand that we're a voter base. We have money, we have finances, we have passion, and we will get out there and work and vote on the things that we care about, chiefly being the Bitcoin standard.
100%.
Wow. You kind of said it there. We can't really expect everyone to read the book, but hey, all it really takes is what, 4%, guys. Like we don't need to get everyone on the Bitcoin standard overnight. We just need, like you said, to plant the ideas, get them at least thinking about it, because hey, it only takes 4% of the population to really change things. So 4% of Congress is all we need to read these books and things will fundamentally change. Like I don't want to say overnight, but it'll happen a lot quicker than we think. And, kudos to you guys and actually, not LARPing on your guys' idea of building out the social layer of Bitcoin, bro. Like, kudos to you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. And that, I think that that's, again, Orange Pop, we're building that social layer and the political can tap into that as much as it wants. Like, everybody's welcome to come and go. And so I think people, Bitcoiners, are sometimes resistant to, oh, we don't want politicians. It's like, no, there's going to be politicians that use Bitcoin. There's going to be ultra wealthy. There's going to be warmongers that use Bitcoin. The people that you hate the most also have permission to use Bitcoin. But guess what? It makes everybody's life a little bit better, even when those people adopt a Bitcoin standard.
Amen to that. 100%. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the meme review. No more delay. Let's hit it.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by KaboomRax. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is KaboomRax. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRax. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. KaboomRax.
Kaboom, Max. All right, everybody. You dealt with us the entire show just for this
honestly,
moment.
Honestly,
just for
Mika.
This moment. Just for the meme review. You dealt with the news. You dealt with the culture. This is your reward. Now memes.
Not going to lie. I thought we were running long and I'm like, oh, dude, we're not going to get to the meme review and we're going to really get a lot of tomatoes today. Okay. Anyways, this is the meme review, guys. Your favorite portion of the show where you tag us in memes. Send us the memes in Telegram. You can tag us on Twitter. People be sending them in my DMs. I will get to the memes memes. There's a lot of memes, guys, but I'll get to them. You know, as we're covering here, guys.
You're gonna be so I don't know what you're gonna do during the bull market.
Tweets are the bullets, memes are the artillery. If it's not obvious to you, and it should be obvious to you guys by now, if you watch this show regularly, we are in an information war. And making the memes, getting the calls of actions, spreading the signal to your friends and family is how we fight the bombardment of noise that is out there. And it's about us pushing the signal as much as possible so people wake up, because most people are just buying the corporate press hook, line, and sinker in regards to Bitcoin, in regards to freedom, in regards to freedom of speech. Like, it's really amazing that this is where we are right now, and memes play a powerful part in this whole culture war we are seeing. And anyways, we got Kim Gage. He tagged me in this yesterday. Actually, I didn't even see these. These hashtags are wrong. These are not right. There's only one hashtag that works here, and it's hashtag Bitcoin. Anyways, we got this. I don't even know. What is this? Is this a lemur? We got a lemur drinking a beer and eating some fried foods. And it goes, me hodling Bitcoin while the world quickly goes to shit. And it's just chilling in his living room.
Chilling, bro. It's just having a good time.
All right, guys. This was a little L on me. I didn't see these hashtags. There's only one hashtag that works there. It's hashtag Bitcoin. Okay, this next one is by the Babylon Bee. I really like this one because I don't think they're the only ones that said this, but I heard a few people say this to me literally verbatim. And the Babylon Bee goes, Fox News fires the only reason people still watch Fox News. And it's a picture of Tucker Carlson. Okay, next meme is by at Maxi's Club. And it's a Pepe Maxi Bitcoiner on what's this show again?
I forgot.
Jeopardy?
Jeopardy?
No. Maybe Jeopardy. Yes, maybe Jeopardy. Yeah, Jeopardy. Yep. Okay. And we got the Bitcoiner and
Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Wheel of Fortune. It goes too easy, and we got on the board over here, and it's basically saying have fun staying poor, but there's only a few letters there, and it's too easy for the Bitcoiner out here because, hey, wait.
You're against Bitcoin. You're against freedom.
And you're going to have fun staying poor. Okay, this next one is by Ghost of Whitman. And he goes, hashtag Bitcoin is freedom. And again, sometimes memes are just screenshots. And we got freedom, the definition of freedom, the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint, absence of subjection to foreign domination or despotic government, the state of not being in prison or enslaved, the state of being physically unrestricted and able to move easily, freedom from the state of not being subject to or affected by a particular undesirable thing, the power of self-determination attributed to the will, the quality of being independent of fate or necessity, unrestricted use of something. Absolutely love that one. All right, this next one. This one's like kind of a combo. We got by Kingo up here, and he goes, if the fiat price on BTC goes up to $1 million and then crashes to 100K, they will still bash it. And we got Toxic Bitcoiner just dropped the meme, and we got some guy in a suit, and he goes, lol, Bitcoin, it's a bubble that's going to zero. It's 20K. And then the guy in the suit goes, see, I told you it's going to zero. And it went to 4K. And then he goes, lol, Bitcoin, it's a bubble that's going to zero. And it went to 69K. And then it goes back to 16K, and he goes, see, I told you it's going to zero. And then low Bitcoin, it's a bubble that's going to zero, and it goes to 600K, and then it crashes to 100K, and it goes, see, I told you it's going to zero. Guys, be prepared for this. This is where we are right now. This is where by 2025, we're going to see that guy literally on every single corporate press media, on Twitter. It's going to be everywhere.
Dude, my favorite talking point from the central bankers is it's not worth anything. Well, looks like it's $27,380. Maybe you want it not to be worth anything, but oh man.
Wow. All right, guys, drop your meme review score in the chat as we cover ours live. And guys, I shit you not, I did not plan this one. I just picked a random page out of 99 signs. You might be a Bitcoin maximalist. And guess what sign I picked? Sign 93, you refer to mainstream media as propaganda and gaslighting the population. Couldn't make up. Literally just picked a random page. Dude, the simulation's real.
Brian, what would you give those memes?
Oh, man. Two dank memes. Let me give you... Dang, I forgot. Got two Bitcoin evangelisms right here.
All right. I'm going to give it Joe Rogan admitting he owns Bitcoin.
Well, it's not a good place for us, but maybe it's a good place for the universe. Maybe
do you
it's
invest
a good
in
place
Bitcoin?
For life.
Do you invest in Bitcoin?
I've got some Bitcoin.
Okay.
So but you're. I think, but that's not what I'm thinking about.
I like
Joe
it.
Rogan's.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan's got
like,
some Bitcoin.
Duh, I got some Bitcoin. What do you think I'm stupid?
Anyways, before we move on to read the viewers' meme scores, I want to give a shout out to representltd.com. They make the comfiest merch. Opti and I wear it every single day. I'm wearing the Simply Bitcoin merch. New Simply Bitcoin merch dropping soon. Also, check out all their other stuff. It's super comfy. It's stylish. Representltd.com. Promo code simply-bitcoin. Get yourself a 10% discount. Anyways, everybody, let's get to some of the scores, Opti. Let's do
okay,
this.
Okay, let's see.
Mr. Robot, rate the memes. My green... I can't read that word. What does it say?
Iridescent Blockstream Jade Bitcoin signing device
that I lost in the surfing accident. Very nice.
This guy gets it. Mr. Yeah. Robot gets it.
Very nice. But even if you lose your signing device, if you back up your seed on steel, a bit plate, it's marine grade stainless steel. So, yeah. Anyways, on to the next one. Opti, read the rest. It's all you.
Okay, Bitcoin for Canadians. I give those memes a bunch of senators getting orange pilled, even John Fetterman. Okay. This next one by Elaine. Shouts out to Elaine. She goes, score. Tucker's podcast, it can't come soon enough. Okay, let's see. Rave Elevator. I give the memes a Steve Uriel heavy episode of Family Matters from the 90s. Okay, references going over my head, but I love it. Okay, Igor, I give those memes a Mr. Beans thumbs up. Okay, hold on. Nico, I probably can't say this one, but it is kind of on brand. Okay, score, a pair of panties I got from meeting a pleb lady on the Orange Pill app.
Ooh.
Hashtag maybe it's a dating app.
Do you have a response to that? Do you have a response to that, Brian?
I mean, it's definitely not a dating app. Like, I mean, yes, people have, you know, met on a, you know, it's not a dating app though. I can't stress this enough.
Everything on social media is a dating app, bro. Just lean into it.
Twitter is a dating app. Okay. Ranmore, kind of. Ranmore says meme scores simply and Tucker spot on. Could you bet we would pause? Opti and I would be in a gulag. Planet Earth giving the memes a go fuck yourself, time changers and money changers. And last by Max Trotter. And before we run out of time, I give memes my first seed word, potato. Very, very, very nice. Anyways, everybody, thank you so much for joining us on another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. I want to give a shout out to our guest, Brian DeMint from the Orange Pill app, head of marketing. How you doing, bro? Thank you for joining us. And why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on the interwebs?
All right. Just at Orange Pill app on Twitter. Obviously, you can reach out to us through Orange Pill app. If you have somebody that you want to contact, a Bitcoiner, they respond to you on Orange Pill app. You talk to Nico, you talk to Natalie Brunell, they respond because they know that if you're on the app, you're a Bitcoiner. So it's completely different. It cuts out the noise for you. It also cuts out the noise for other plebs. So they're more organic interactions. So shoot me a DM on OPA and we can hang out.
Absolutely. Download it today, guys. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. If you enjoyed the show, smash that like button. If you feel like we provided you value, consider subscribing. But the number one thing you could do to help push the peaceful Bitcoin revolution is share this content. In fact, share all Bitcoin content. Don't be exclusive. Be inclusive. Don't share shitcoin content. That's bad. That's counterproductive. But get the orange signal out there. Love you all. We'll see you tomorrow, 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But if you want to hang out, a bit of an after party, we're holding it down. Twitter Spaces with our friends over at swan.com. Best place to build your Bitcoin stack all the way until 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Opti is going to be holding it down. See you guys tomorrow for a brand new episode of Simply Bitcoin Live.
Oh my God. Yeah, this is too much fun. All right, guys. Well, you already know this is a Bitcoin only space by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. So do not be shy. Come up here, hang out with me, or, you know, you guys can hear me on my soapbox for the next 30 minutes, but it's a lot more fun when my friends come up here and talk with us. Well, anyways, got a little spicy in the YouTube chat today. That's always fun. We love when it gets spicy in the chat. It's always fun when we got Bitcoiners in the chat going ballistic. I think today was, I don't know, we might have gotten more ballistic Bitcoin comments in the YouTube chat today than usual. Absolutely love it. This is what we're here for. Really appreciate everyone.